Joining me in a studio, winner of the Jewish Achievers Professional Award, Joseph Gerassi. A very, very good morning and an absolute pleasure to chat to you in studio.
Thank you, Howard. It's really a pleasure to be here. Always enjoy coming in.
So let me just, you were saying during the song, you didn't write a speech. You didn't think that you were going to win, seriously?
I absolutely had no idea. People had asked me over the weekend, have you written something? And generally people, I think they see me speak so often, they think it's just easy. You get up and you just speak, you know, and that you never prepare anything.
No, of course not, yes.
When I write an article or I prepare a speech, I spend a long time on it. And I just thought to myself, I'm just not doing that to myself. I'm not going to spend hours putting together something when there's no way I can win this. You know, I thought it was...
Why did you think you weren't going to win it? Or that you had... Is that your own stuff?
I think it has a little bit to do with my own stuff. Uh-huh. I think it has... It has to do with, I think, my relationship with the Jewish community.
So what is your, have you had a difficult relationship with the Jewish community?
I think I have.
I mean, I know that you were involved at King David, but was that a difficult, was that difficult?
It wasn't difficult for me personally and in terms of the student and the parent body at King David.
Right.
But I think, you know, it's just part of my personality. And I mean, this morning I got a text from a student from 25 years ago.
Right.
Who just said, I saw you on Facebook and I just want to, you know, chat to you and reconnect with you. I think when you're a person who brings about change, when you're a change agent, you are going to come into conflict with traditional norms.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you can get around that. And I think, you know, the kind of head that I was, or it started off as a teacher where I really got kids to think outside of the box.
Right.
But if you're trying to get children to think outside of the box, you've got to allow them to think. You've got to open up the possibilities. You've got to allow for debate. You've got to allow for controversy. I've never been the kind of teacher that believed you teach children, one way of thinking.
Right.
And that's what they have to learn. You are a provocateur. You throw out questions and children have to then battle to think through those kind of questions.
Right.
And I think there were times when I think the Jewish community, maybe more specifically certain members of the board, that were not always happy with the kind of education that I was giving to students or you know, I think it was a problem in terms of me and my identity, mm-hmm. My sexual identity.
I was going to say, was that the main area of conflict? The fact that that you were openly and comfortably gay, and that was that the issue, or was it a broader issue of education?
I think it was both. I think when I was appointed at a very, very young age, I don't think anybody knew that I was gay.
Oh, okay. So I don't know what that process was for you.
I don't think, you know, it was something that people really knew about, but as I grew up and I met my partner, then I became very open about it.
Right. That's how I've always known you, as being comfortable, but obviously there has to be a point where that becomes a known thing.
And yet, Howard, I was never open about it in the sense of, you know, at school.
Right.
I never pushed agendas. That wasn't the point.
Right.
But there would be times, for instance, I remember, you know, we brought in a whole week of tolerance education. And it just so happened that I had heard that, I don't know, at the time, the first openly gay Orthodox rabbi was in South Africa.
Right.
And we invited him onto the campus.
Right.
We thought it's a week of tolerance education. And I made it very clear to that rabbi, I don't want you to discuss your homosexuality as much as I want you to discuss the conflict between being an Orthodox rabbi and being gay. How do you deal with it?
Right.
Well, you know, the rabbi was banned from coming onto the campus. And as in Gerassi would do, he just moved it somewhere else.
Right.
And that kind of got, I think, people a little bit upset with where I was, coming back to South Africa from overseas. It was made perfectly clear by the board that I would never work at King David again.
Wow.
I had applied. I had wanted to come back into the system. It was a system that I loved, that I felt that I'd given 20 years to. I'd gone overseas because it was an opportunity for me to learn about international education. And I'd come back, and there were both positions at both King David's going, and I had applied for both. And when I never got them, it was made perfectly clear that you're not going to work at King David.
How much of a terrible impact it has to have had on you. How did you deal with that? Because you've got to be, it's got to hit the absolute core of your self-esteem, of who you are, of what this means, of judgment, and and any gay person or any different person actually has that as part of their own growth anyway, because the that feeling of being excluded, judged, made to feel other, and here you got it in an absolute form.
You know, Howard, there was a time in my life that I really thought I was destined to be in Jewish education. That was my destiny.
Right,
if there's a God out there, that is what God put me here to do.
Interesting.
I got up every day and I just loved going to work. And I, you know, while I'm not the most religious person, I'm an ardent Zionist.
Right.
My father, you know, fought in the war in Israel. He was a member of the underground. I have, my whole family lives in Israel. So it's a very core part of who I am. And I, even as a head, I taught Jewish studies. In fact, I taught it, which I thought was a very novel way. I would go in and I would teach the secular side of Jewish history and studies, but I'd have the rabbi in with me who would then give a perspective from a halachic point of view on whatever we discussed. And I suppose when you hear something like that, you do feel alienated. You feel, in a way, you've been excommunicated.
Right. Well, it is that.
Yeah. And so you also learn that you have to get up, you've got to dust yourself off, and you've got to decide, where can I make another difference? And it just so happened that Red Hill then phoned me, and I said to them, you do know my history, you know who I am, you know that I'm going to push boundaries. And they said, that's exactly why we want you. And so I found myself a different career path. I found myself in a multicultural environment where I now mix, you know, I have the privilege of being able to mix with all different types of children. And I see them arguing and discussing and talking about different things.
Right. Well, I mean, we had the experience, the absolute privilege of having an outside broadcast from Red Hill, and certainly gave me and gave us, and Nati wanted to go back to school.
That, I did. I really did.
I'm surprised we actually got it off campus, but, it was an incredible experience because you have built that. So when you achieved the award, when you received the award, therefore, on Sunday night, it was almost a, did it bring some form of closure?
Oh, you know, when
because it is a circle closing.
Oh, it was a complete circle closing. When I was nominated, I remember phoning to accept my nomination, and I actually said to the person that I spoke to, I said, I think you've made a mistake. Are you sure you have the right person here? Because I thought, I'm not quite sure the Jewish community is going to give someone like me an award for professional excellence. And she said, no, you know, it's happened. And I said straight away to people that I knew, this was, I don't think the people that nominated me or gave me this award understood what it was doing for me personally, because while I don't, as you said, it's personal stuff, but it showed me that the Jewish community hadn't blocked me out. They had said that although you might not be in Jewish education and you might not be a traditional member of the community, you still have value. And the things that you do still have value. And I want to thank, and I, as I said on the night, it must be, you know, hundreds of my ex-students who must have nominated me, because I don't have enough friends that would have nominated me to get the nomination. And the messages that I've received on Facebook from students as way back as 30 years ago, I will spend this weekend answering all of them, because the community basically said, you have some value in this community. And I want to say back there that although I don't work in the Jewish education environment anymore, I love this community. I want to be a part of the community. And as a Jew in this community, if there's any way that I can be part of the community, I will be there like a flash. It doesn't mean because I teach at a different school that is not part of the community that I'm no longer part of the community. And thank you to the Jewish Report. And from time to time, Chai FM allows me a voice. And just to say thank you to those institutions for allowing a different voice to be heard.
Do you think that there is a shift? I certainly believe there is. We had the tragic incident of a young Jewish 19-year-old, a beautiful boy who unfortunately was a victim of suicide, partly because of his own sexual identity. As a result of that, there's been a lot of discussions, and in fact, at our shul, which is an Orthodox shul, we had a panel after the service a couple of weeks ago where the LGBTQ community was there. The rabbi spoke. I spoke. There were people that, and in fact, it turns out that this was the very first time that this conversation was had in an Orthodox shul. Now, the fact is that it's terrible that it has taken this long, and perhaps it's even more terrible that it took a tragic incident to do it. But the fact is that it wasn't the first tragic incident, and it wasn't the first time there has been a need, and yet these conversations haven't happened. Yeah. The fact is that we had this conversation, and although probably not much was resolved, the very fact that we could sit around and engage and have a conversation in a positive, caring, respectful way, to me was what it was really all about, because that's your first step to any form of progress.
Yeah.
Looking where you were then versus where it is now, give me your sense.
I think we've made huge strides. I think we've made huge strides in the community. And as I said, in my acceptance speech, mm-hmm. I think the Jewish report has become, you know, very brave in terms of the stance that it takes on different things. And I think Chai FM has done the same. I wrote in that morning when you were talking to that young gentleman. Or I don't know if he's that young. He just sounded very young on when you were interviewing him.
Oh, I was interviewing Stephen Kruger, who lives in Israel. And he took us through his life experience, which was hard to hear.
And I wrote to you and my opinion is I never thought that on a Jewish news station we would ever hear that voice. And I was driving to work listening to it and I was quite emotional about it. And I thanked you, although it came up anonymous because I didn't know how to work the SMS line. but I thanked you for having the courage, to be able to put someone like that. And I know it made a huge difference to a whole lot of gay Jewish people out there, because they heard a voice, but more importantly, they heard one of our organizations being brave enough to be able to give them a voice. Mm. And we will never all agree on everything, but in a community that has different types of people with different ideas, you don't have to agree with everybody. You just have to give them the respect to listen to what they have to say. And give people a voice, because at the end of the day, the more we give people a voice and the more we say you're part of our community, the stronger our community becomes. I've heard of too many people who've been sidelined and have decided, well, therefore I'm moving out of the community. And they are wonderful and important people in their different ways, and they have different strengths.
Well, what was interesting about that interview that you're referring to with Stephen Kruger is that, number one, it took him until the age of 30 to be able to come out. And the second thing was that he had never discussed this aspect of his life, which is who he is, with South Africa. And this was the first time that he was able to do that. And the same as sort of the Jewish Achievers Award closed a circle for you, that conversation closed a circle for him. Because he felt as though, okay, I've had this conversation and everything's all right. The world didn't end, because he grew up with this notion of such fear and such horror and such shame when he hears at school that Rock Hudson deserved to die because he was gay. And that's the narrative. And when I spoke about it at the shul, I spoke about this Shalom Auslander's book, Hope, a Tragedy, about he finds Anne Frank living in his attic. And the reality is we've all got it. Whether we are gay or not gay, we still are subject to the same conversation, the same dialogue, the same rabbi that Stephen Kruger heard, I heard as well. So that has a negative impact.
Howard, it's really important because I teach, although I'm the head, I teach grade 10's identity formation.
Mm-hmm.
And in the work that I do in the schools, you know, we have to understand that children are going through the most difficult parts of their lives. They don't understand who they are. They don't understand always their sexuality. They don't understand their gender, you know, how fluid that gender is. And if you don't open up these discussions when children are young, we've been doing a whole lot of work with our kids on what's been happening with the rape culture. And we've brought it all down to things like toxic masculinity. And you cannot believe the debate on campus and the anger and the discussions. But it's amazing to be able to give kids that opportunity to be able to discuss these type of issues. Children need to feel that whoever they are, there is a safe space. And you can only do that by discussing difficult issues. And sometimes these issues are going to go against traditional norms and values. But you can't ignore them, because then a child feels absolutely alienated as if there's no one there to listen to them.
Well, I mean, that's to me the ridiculousness of it is, does anybody really think that having a conversation about this or accepting somebody for being who they are, i.e. gay, is going to make somebody else gay?
Absolutely.
Like, it's just an absolutely unfathomable, ridiculous concept.
Absolutely.
I'd love your thoughts. 34519 or 0618951019. Time is 8:25. I'm chatting to Joseph Gerassi. He is the winner of the Jewish Achievers Professional Award. I'd love your thoughts on that. And I'm chatting to Joseph Gerassi, who is the winner of the Jewish Achievers Professional Award. Where to from here?
For me, there's so many things. I have been given an extraordinary opportunity to head up Red Hill, which has allowed me to take everything that I love about education to another level. And it's not because it's Red Hill. It's just allowed, you know, when you're given an opportunity to take education to the next level, it's a really, really important step. So we've got some really exciting things. I'm working, you know, moving into the whole area of media, of, AI, of, you know, where future education is going.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really, really excited about that. So I'm doing
because it must
research.
Be tremendously difficult to be, you know, as our kids are growing up, it's so much of what we can see. Certainly as a parent, as you're going through this, we're going through the so-called fourth industrial revolution.
Yep.
Unless we can't train our children, we've got to educate our children. We've got to absolutely give them skills to be able to be agile in a new world.
I had a parent two evenings ago who's got a kid going into kindergarten, and he came up to me and said, please, can you just give me information? This is nothing like I ever knew at school, but I know my kid needs to be in this environment because that's how they have to learn. And so it's really about forming community relationships. You've got to now bring communities into your school, parents, and a lot of the education you have to be doing is around parents. Because in education, there really are three teachers. There is the teacher, there's the environment, and there's the parent. The parent needs to understand where you're taking the child so that they are equipped when the child comes home, for instance, and asks a question, for them not to give the answer, but to ask another question.
Right, right.
And that really becomes important. So I'm doing amazing work for myself in terms of the research. Mm-hmm. I'm working with organizations like Singularity.
Right,
I've been very, very lucky that they've contacted me and some of my ex-students have been involved there. So I'm lucky that I have those kind of conversations. And we're doing a lot of work there. So we're really excited about where we're going in terms of the future of education. And we're doing a lot of work within the school to pilot that. And we invite all schools to come and see what we're doing as we enjoy going to other schools to see what they're doing.
Because as creative and as exciting it is, it's also very scary.
Very, very, very scary. Because you have the lives of those children in your hands.
Mm.
And I've always said that I think being an educator is probably the most powerful thing in the world. And so we have to be so careful in terms of how we use that power because, you know, you've got a child's life in your hands. And I have never taken that for granted. And that's why everything that I do, I always think first and foremost about the child, their development, and most importantly, their emotional and social well-being. And so we have many discussions around what we do before we just do them. You know, I don't have my own children, but I have hundreds and hundreds of children that I have taught. And I thank each and every one of them for allowing me to. Oh, I get a bit emotional about this.
Good.
About
good.
Being a part of their lives.
Right.
And I
incredible.
Thank them for that.
It's absolutely incredible and a well-deserved, fantastic, fantastic award, a fantastic achievement. And without having known the personal aspect of it, it makes me even more delighted that that circle has closed for you and hopefully allowed healing to the extent that it has. And we wish you all of the best for the future. Well done, and Shabbat Shalom. Time is 8:30.